I've been learning a lot, and it's just really getting down deep into my spirit. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 7, and a lot going on in Acts chapter 7. We're still looking at Stephen's life. Last week we talked about Stephen in Acts chapter 6, and I titled that message, Be Like Stephen. And then today, I'll kind of give you a little rundown of what we learned last week. If you weren't here, you can go back and read the Acts chapter 6. But what we found out about this man named Stephen, he wasn't an apostle. He was just a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was full of God's wisdom. He was full of God's faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of God's grace. And he was full of God's power. And if I'm going to be full of something, that's what I want to be full of. Amen. That's the things I want to be full of right there. And I'm going to kind of go back to Acts chapter 6 and read a couple of verses out of there. This is going to help us when we get into Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 6, verse 10, it says, But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Now, I want you to realize this man was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He was a Jewish man, so he grew up going to church, like most of us have in this building today. He grew up going to Sunday school in the synagogue, all right? He heard all the Bible stories. But I just want you to know, before we ever get into this message today, that he wasn't a scholar. He wasn't a Bible scholar, an Old Testament scholar. He wasn't a scribe. He wasn't a Pharisee, any of those kind of people. He wasn't a religious leader of the day. He wasn't a historian. He didn't have a PhD. He was just a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he knew these stories from the Word of God from the Old Testament. And then he got full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit illuminated the Word of God to him. I'll never forget what made a difference in my life and walking with the Lord is when I got into the Word of God after I had become full of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I started seeing things I'd never seen before in the Word, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I just want you to understand, this is what's going on. And if you read Scripture and it's not illuminating to you, I'm just telling you, surrender some more and get full of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Because that's the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote that book. Yeah, he went through men and women, but the Holy Spirit was the author of this book. And so I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background before we get into this, because he was astounding the religious leaders of his day with the wisdom that he had. And this wisdom didn't come from him. He didn't cram for this exam, okay, that we're going to read. He didn't cram the week before reading the whole Old Testament. This was something that he had in him because he was a churchgoer. He was a Jewish man, but the Holy Spirit was bringing it to the surface, all right? And so when you have, if you go to church and you hear the Word of God, you may sit there and think, I didn't get anything out of today's message. I hope that you don't leave here saying that today. But when you come, you listen, and the Word is being sown into your life, and I promise you, when you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it back up. Amen? That's the power. That's being full of the Holy Spirit. That's the power, God's power. And so in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, it says, But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 14, it says, For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. So now we're going to get into Acts chapter 7. And if you're taking notes, I just want you to write down, do number 1, give yourself enough space, do number 2, enough space, and do number 3. So I got like 3 main points that I'm going to share from Acts chapter 7 today. But what I want you to understand, what's going on here is the religious people of his day. Okay, this is the church that's coming against Stephen. And they got accusations and charges against him. And this is what they're saying. It's all false, but this is what they're saying. This man has blasphemed God. He's blasphemed Moses. He's blasphemed the Mosaic law. And he's blasphemed the temple. And so there's 4 strikes against him. And so do you understand, the first century Jew, if you had those 4 strikes being against you, basically they're saying, you're going to hell, okay? I'll just put it out there frank. And then they say, because of that, because you're doing all this blaspheming, then we have the right to stone you. We have the right to capital punishment, all right? Now, I don't know about you, but I was just sitting there thinking, if I'm Stephen, I might be running out of town right now, okay? Like, you know, when I want to witness to somebody, I want them to be ready and wanting to receive Jesus, right? And I don't want the opposition, you know, when you're trying to witness and there being any opposition, if there's opposition, I just want to run the other way. And here, I want to share this up front. We're living in a day where there is a ton of opposition. And we need to stand up and quit running the other way. We need to be like Stephen, like I said last Sunday, and I'm still saying it this Sunday. And so I was sitting there when I was studying this, and I became convicted, guys, I really did, of times that I have should have stood up and said something. Said, no, this isn't right. Baloney on political correctness. Amen? We need to stand up. We need to stand up in our schools. We need to stand up for all this. You know, if, for instance, you know, stand up, we're going to start bringing our Bibles to school, kids. Well, you know, the school board meets and they say, well, if we do that, then the little boy that's, you know, or little girl or whatever, or the teacher or whatever, they might want to bring their satanic Bible. No. There's something called good versus evil, all right? And we need to stand up for what's good and not just say we're going to be politically correct and just open up the door for anything to come through our school system. I'm just using that as an example. If that's to happen, let's start a Christian school. Amen? Or let's homeschool our kids. Those are the kind of things that we've got to start standing up against instead of just cowering down and running the other way and said, oh, just let it happen, you know? No, we got to stand up. This is an hour to start standing up. There are times to turn the other cheek. I heard a pastor say this one time, and I laughed so hard when he said it. He said, but the good Lord only gave you four, all right? Four cheeks. Y'all figure that one out later. Some of you will come to you at lunch today. All right, so this is what's going on. This man, full of the Holy Spirit and God's power and God's wisdom, gave these PhD historians, scholars, and theologians of his day a history lesson. That's what this whole Acts chapter 7 is. And I encourage you to go home and read Acts chapter 7 this week, okay? I'm going to kind of go through the highlights of it. We're going to take, you know, a little sky view of Acts chapter 7, but this is what's going on. And here's another thing I want to show you from Acts chapter 7. Stephen didn't defend himself. He's trying to point them to Jesus. He didn't say, yeah, you're saying all these things about me and I'm not doing it. He didn't defend himself. He just tried to point them to Jesus. And he starts, what he does is the Holy Spirit, through Stephen, starts connecting dots for them from Scripture, and he uses Abraham, Joseph, and Moses to do it. And I'm going to show you these dots here in just a second. And if you'll go ahead with me, if you've got your Bible open, I didn't put this on the PowerPoint, but I want you to jump down to Acts chapter 7, and I want you to go to verse 57 in Acts chapter 7. And I want to show you something. He stood up to these men, these religious people that day, and here's what happened. They didn't listen to him. In fact, when you read the end of the story, they stone him. They kill him. But here's, because he stood up for righteousness that day, because he stood up for the Lord, verse 57, he didn't know this was happening until he got to heaven. But it says this, at this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed out at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. And I love how the Holy Spirit puts this in the Scripture. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's the Apostle Paul. And if you go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, on that day a great persecution broke out. Or hold on. Verse 1 says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. That's the Apostle Paul. Stephen didn't know that because he stood up in the power of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, with God's wisdom speaking through him, there was a young man there listening. And the Holy Spirit was pricking his heart. And in Acts chapter 9, God showed up and knocked him off his high horse on his road to Damascus. God is good. Amen? God knows what he's doing. And thank God Stephen stood up that day. But here's point number one. Getting ahead of myself. I already told you the end of the story. Point number one about Stephen is what happened is he saw the opportunity for boldness. Where most of us in this room would have turned tail and ran. Because if we're living in a culture today that is so PC, so politically correct, that we're not standing up for our values, our morals, and Christianity. And we got to start standing up for it, guys. Amen? In your families, in your workplaces, and there's a way to do it with righteousness, but also with boldness. And then you might be saying, God will give you what you need in that hour. And he'll put such an anointing on you that people just got to shut up. I promise you, I've had it happen several situations in my life. Just the spirit of shut up comes on everybody because it's the Holy Spirit doing it. And the Holy Spirit speaking through a person. All right, so don't miss out on all opportunities. It's not just the ones that are going smoothly. It may be a situation where you really got to stand up and get bold and confront something. In Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Then the high priest asked Stephen, 'Are these charges true?' And to this he replied, 'Brothers and fathers, listen to me.'" And then he goes on and tells them this whole story, and we're going to look at that here in just a second. And this made me think of a scripture in the New Testament where it says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, and the second half of that scripture, says the Apostle Peter tells us, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And there's all kinds of ways of doing that without preaching a sermon. There's lots of ways on how you witness and how you can witness. And here, I'll just give you, I'm going to give you some, the do's and the don'ts. Somebody asks you about, "Hey, Mark, go with us here." "Sorry, guys, I can't go there." And then that opens a door for you to witness. Amen. "Hey, Mark, go to Hooters with us." "Can't do that, guys. I'm married and I love my wife." Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, okay? I had a guy tell me the other day, he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "Every time I go to Oklahoma City, I always see somebody doing what they're not supposed to be doing from my hometown." And I joked with him, and I said this to him. I said, "I ain't going to Oklahoma City." No, I'm just kidding, all right? Said, what happens in Oklahoma City, he finds out about, and then he comes home and tells everybody. And we laughed about it. But that's the truth. There's places I don't go because of my witness. And it's not because I'm Pastor Mark. It's because I'm a Christian. And it's because I'm married and I love my wife. And everybody said, amen. That's also why, as a pastor, I don't have intimate conversations with the opposite sex. Because it opens the door. I had a pastor tell me when I first started in the ministry, he said, "Mark," and I don't want this to sound like it's just for people in the ministry. This is for, if you're a Christian, he said, "You got to follow the G rule. You got to follow God. But, Mark, with that, the enemy's going to try to get you with girls, gold, and glory." And he said, "You don't share your glory, he's not going to share your glory with you. Don't let pride come in. Give God all the glory. You know, watch out for the girls because the enemy will send girls your way. And if you're a lady, the opposite, okay? And the gold was money. Don't let the money, you know, let somebody else in your ministry take care of that. Don't let that get to your head." And I've done all three of those things, and I've tried to live by that pastoral wisdom. But it's not just for me being a pastor. That's even for being a Christian. And everybody said, amen. And it's also why I don't watch some things. There's also been some times where I've watched some things that I shouldn't have watched, and then I had to repent. Amen. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for God's grace. But some of the times we open doors that we know that something's going to happen that we shouldn't have ever even opened that door. You know, God's grace is not a license to sin. I'm going to talk more about that here in just a little bit. But that's also why I do some things myself. It's not just the don'ts; it's also the do's. One of the things that I do at Moxie Realty, we had an auction the other night. Well, I opened up all of my auctions with a word of prayer. And somebody had said, "Well, you know, what if that offends somebody?" Or what? You know, I don't care. They can leave. This is my auction. This is an auction that I'm doing. I'm a Christian. I'm going to witness to everybody here. If they don't think it's politically correct, see ya. What if he's the guy with the big bucks that's going to buy that place? I don't care because God's my provider. And everybody said, amen. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm fired up this morning, all right? I'm wanting to be like Stephen. I've read so much about Stephen, I'm just full of it, full of the Holy Spirit. All right, Luke chapter 12, verses 11 through 12, this is what Jesus said to all of us. He said, "When you're brought before synagogues, churches, religious people, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say." This is one of the most amazing sermons I've ever read, that this man connected dots in scripture with Abraham, Joseph, and Moses to people that were the religious scholars of his day. And he connects the dots, and they still didn't see it. And I'm going to show you this. Okay, so this goes to point number two. He saw what they missed. Have you ever been, you walking with God and you start seeing they're missing the mark, okay? That's when somebody's walking in sin and you're not, you're living right, and that's why you're there to help them get out of that, all right? And so there's two things when you read Acts chapter 7, and I encourage you to go home and read every bit of it, but what you find out, Stephen saw what they missed in Scripture, even though they knew Scripture even better than he did, but he was illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And it says, he shows them that you missed the promise of God, and he tries to tell them, it's not about the Holy Land or the temple. It has nothing to do with that. Yeah, those are all great things. They were part of God's promises, but that's not the promise. The promise was Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then he shows them, he says, through Abraham, Joseph, and Moses, he says, you missed the pattern of God's people. This has been going on for centuries, and it's still going on today. You're acting just like they did back in that day. They missed God's deliverers, which were Abraham, Joseph, and Moses. Because of that, they missed the greatest deliverer, which was Jesus. And I'm going to show you this all in the Scripture. So they saw, he saw what they missed. And this is Acts 7, verses 2 through 3. And he says to this, he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham." Father Abraham had many sons. Brendan, good job. He's back here doing some actions with it. So proud of you, buddy. By the way, Brendan and Mallory got engaged last night. Is that what I heard? Give them a big hand clap. Awesome. So proud of you guys. Sorry I had to point you out. And there was a lot of great things that happened this week. That was a great thing. I know there's some other great things in here. Parker got accepted at ORU. He's going to be playing baseball at ORU this fall. Oral Roberts University. He's a Golden Eagle. Okay, all right, little timeout sermon break there. All right, I just saw them two and thought those are two things that happened this week. Parker called me on the phone this week with Kent and Jennifer texted me about you guys, and then Parker called me with his mom and dad on the phone on speakerphone. Hey, I got accepted to RE, and we celebrated on that phone call, so that's pretty cool. So anyways, back to Father Abraham. Our Father Abraham, while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, leave your country and your people, and God said, and go to the land I will show you. He gave him no inheritance here, talking about where they were, not even enough ground to set his foot on, but God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at the time Abraham had no child. Okay? And so what he's trying to do, he's trying to tell them, it's not about the Holy Land, you guys, and it's not about this temple that you're in. In fact, it's going to be destroyed, is what Jesus said. And it's not about all your rules. It's about a relationship with God the Father. That's why Abraham left. He left a pagan society, a pagan where he was living pagan, and he followed God. It's about a relationship. It's not about religion. And so Stephen, that's the hint that he's giving them with that. He's dropping some hints big time to these guys. All right, then he goes from Abraham, he goes to Joseph. He says, because the patriarchs were jealous, everybody say jealous, of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt, but God was with him. I'm going to tell you what killed Jesus was a spirit of murder, and it was based on jealousy from the religious people. Still rampant today, the spirit of jealousy is a spirit of murder, and you might be saying, well, I didn't kill anybody. Well, you probably did it with your words, with slander and cutting them down. Because of jealousy. Jealousy is a bad thing. If you start feeling jealousy rise up in you, repent. Get it out in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, because it doesn't lead to anything good. Acts 7, verse 9. Then go to Acts 7, verse 14 through 17. Still talking about Joseph. It says this, after this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our ancestors died, and their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. So he's just giving them a history lesson. He's connecting some dots, okay? And they didn't see Joseph as a great deliverer. In fact, he was showing them that the patriarchs were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. All right, so he's connecting dots for them. Then in Acts 7, he starts off on Moses, because that's who they're you know, they were always talking about the Mosaic law and Moses this and Moses that. It says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites, and he saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting, and he tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, who made you ruler and judge over us? How many of you are already seeing Charlton Heston right now? The Ten Commandments, right? All right, when you read Scripture. All right, so then we go on in Acts 7, jumping down to verse 30, like I'm doing a jet tour through Acts 7. I want you to read this all this week. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses. So Moses goes on the backside of the desert for 40 years, so now he's 80, to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And when he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And this is where, right now, I'm going to show you where Stephen lowers the boom. He's taking them through this history lesson, and then he says this. This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge. And he was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He keeps going. This is the Moses who told the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet, talking about Jesus, like me, from your own people. He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. He's just lowering the boom on them and said, guys, this pattern of our people, is still happening today. We keep turning our backs on God. We keep turning our back, this pattern, and it's still happening today. And because you're turning your back on God, you miss Jesus, the greatest deliverer of all time. You miss the Son of God because you've been in this pattern for so long. We've been in this pattern for centuries. Acts 7, jump down a little bit more. This is where he gets them to trying to show them what God's trying to do in all this. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. This is out of the book of Isaiah. As the prophet says in Isaiah, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or where will my resting place be? And then he says, has not my hand made all these things? Now here's the deal, and this is what we have to know as New Testament believers, and this is what Stephen knew. Do you not know, and this is what he's trying to tell them, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. If you know Jesus, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not about this building. This is where we gather to have church. But you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you're at, you can have church. Amen? Just you and the Lord, you can have church because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the jet tour that he's taking him through. And then I love this, and I was like, boy, let me just show you. This is not politically correct. All right, Acts 7, verses 51 through 53, this is what Stephen tells them. You stiff-necked people. Yeah, I was like, whoa. You know, he's preaching to the church people, the religious people of his day, and he calls them a bunch of stiff-necks. The first time I read that, I'm going to have to tell you that I know this is a really strong message this morning, and the first time I ever read that, this is what happened to me. I thought of Jeff Foxworthy. That's just the redneck in me. I'm sorry. And I thought, you know, Jeff Foxworthy wrote a book called, you know, You Might Be a Redneck. I said, I'm going to take the religious, you know, the pastoral approach to this and write a book called You Might Be a Stiff Neck if you do these things. And so I have one for you this morning. Can I practice on you? And you can give me some more after church if you have some. We'll make a book out of this. This is a good one. I feel like this is a good one because I came up with it. All right. If you think your denomination is the only one going to heaven, you might be a stiff neck. Okay? Ta-da. All right, let's stop right there. All right, so he goes, you stiff neck people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're not hearing what God's trying to tell you. Your heart's hard. Your ears are dull of hearing. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. There it is. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He's telling the Holy Spirit through him is telling him, you're always resisting me. You're always resisting me. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? The answer to that is no. They persecuted every one of them. They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and they even killed the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him, you who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. Wow. Then Hebrews 3, verse 15, I want to read this to you. A lot of people don't know, you know, they argue over, scholars argue over who wrote the book of Hebrews, and I really believe it was the Apostle Paul. And it says, but remember what it says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. The reason why I think it was the Apostle Paul, because I remember what Stephen said back in Acts chapter 7, that powerful sermon that Stephen gave. Remember what it says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Look at somebody say, don't harden your heart. As Israel did when they rebelled. And I'm going to give you my sermon in a sentence today, and I'm going to try to bring this home to where we live today, okay? Stephen's sermon points us to the sovereign, abundant grace of a God, of God towards rebellious sinners. Every one of us in here are rebellious sinners. We're all sinners and falling short of the glory of God. I thank God that in my rebellion and in my sin, he came to me.
Amen.
Amen. But also, it's also to the danger of hardening our hearts against God's grace. God's grace isn't a license to sin. God's grace, if you're walking in God's grace and full of the Holy Spirit, it will keep you from sin. Okay? Now, everybody love Pastor Mark? Okay? And I'm going to tell you, and I'm preaching to myself too this morning, because I've done this. We're all guilty of this. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. But we've got to train ourselves, train our temple, that when the Lord speaks to us, that we respond immediately. Yes. That we don't shut his voice out. And we don't say, I'm going to do it my way, God. We're God now. I want to do it my way. I want to have more fun. Your way is not more fun, because it's the enemy's way. All right? And so when we, just listen to me, I'm going to bring this home to where we're at today. And this is what Stephen was telling them. When we get comfortable tuning out God's voice, we get comfortable in our sins. And we can harden our hearts and no longer hear his voice. That's dangerous. And that can happen to anybody. So I'm going to give you some examples, all right? So when the Holy Spirit, you've got this, you got the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's in you, okay? And he's going to talk to you and help you walk this. He's going to disciple you and help you walk this walk with the Lord. What you don't want to do when he starts telling you to do something, don't turn that voice down. In fact, turn it up. You know, whoa, God, you know, God, I need to pay attention here. You know, you're speaking to me. I'm just going to give you some examples, okay? When the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you, don't pursue that relationship. And the reason why is because it's toxic. Pursue a relationship with me first, and I will make you whole. You're looking for love in all the wrong places, just like the woman at the well. Now, I'm going to flip that, because that's not just for women, that's for men too. Okay, so don't, you know, if the Holy Spirit's telling you don't pursue that relationship, turn that up. Don't turn it down saying, you know what, God, I'm lonely. I got to have somebody. No, you don't. You've got to have Jesus. So listen to him. Here's another one. Pastor Mark's going to say this today. And I'm going to go ahead and repent right now, because if I could rewind my life, I would not do this, what I'm about to tell you. Okay, it's real quiet in here this morning. But I'm telling off of myself too. But I'm saying this for some young people in here today, because if I could rewind time to what I know now at 52, I wouldn't. So young people, listen to me. Don't sleep with your girlfriend or your boyfriend before marriage. Or sleep around, period, before marriage. It's what the Bible calls fornication. It's in there. Look it up. because it's not, and here's the reason, it's not because God's a prude, because it's not God's perfect plan for your life. What happens is when you have sleep around or, you know, have sex before marriage, you create a soul tie with that person you sleep with, and it's what God calls becoming one flesh with that person. And it can cause a lot of problems before marriage. I wish I could rewind time and do it all over again. Okay? But I can't, but I've repented, and God has forgiven me. And if you're there with like me, you just repent, start afresh, and start new today. But I wanted to say that today because there's some young people in here that need to hear that. And I'm going to be a pastor from now on, guys. I'm not going to be PC. This will never be a PC church, politically correct. I'm going to speak the truth because the truth is what sets people free. And it's the truth is what people need today. Okay? Here's another one. This has become a habit in my life that God is telling you this has become a habit in your life that keeps you away from me. And you turn it down. Been there. Done that. Turn it down. And what God tells you, it's destroying your intimacy with me. Could be pornography. Could be alcohol. Could be sex. It's whatever you're turning to that you run to it instead of to the Lord. It could be food. Okay, it's that same. We always put it like, you know, alcohol, sex, and drugs and all those things. But it could be food. All right? God's spoken to me, Mark. I've even had Jada. Jada's watching online. Love you, babe. She's not feeling well, so she's at home. And Jada told me the other night there was a lot of some stressful things going on. And she looked at me. She goes, did you know you're stress eating right now? And I didn't realize it, but I had went to the cabinet, and I had, you know, I stood there looking at what I'm going to eat, and, yeah, peanut butter and syrup came out, and then I saw chips. I got to have something salty now, you know, and I'm standing there, and then she looked at me. She goes, are you stressed out? And I was like, you know what, I am. She goes, well, you're stress eating, you know. You need to go pray. You need to go to the Lord with that. Don't go to peanut butter. Don't go to, you know, the chips. And, guys, I'm making fun of that, but that's the truth. There's such a thing in the Word. It's called the sin of gluttony, all right? And it's because you place something over God, all right? I'm not, so if there's a habit that you have that's keeping you away from God, surrender that to the Lord, all right? Because what it's doing is destroying your intimacy with Him, and what happens is you start running to it instead of the Lord to medicate and comfort yourself. I've ate myself happy and sleepy all at the same time. You know, I'm just being honest, all right? And that's not the way to medicate yourself. You're supposed to go to the Lord. And everybody said, amen. So, and then here's another one. The Lord's been telling you for a long time to let go of that unforgiveness, and every time it happens, you just turn it down. Turn it up. Turn it up. Look at somebody say, turn it up. Turn that voice up. Because when you let go of that unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness, because what you're doing, when you carry that around, when you go into your other relationships, whether it's in your family relationships, whether it's with, you know, a loved one, work relationships, what it does, that unforgiveness sabotages every relationship that you ever try to get into. You're destroying relationships before you ever create one because you're walking around with unforgiveness and bitterness. And it has nothing to do with that person that came across your path. Well, I'm saying all this because this applies to what we've learned from Stephen, is God doesn't want you to miss His best for you. And if I that's another thing that he was trying to tell these people of his day, the religious people of his day, he says, God doesn't want you guys to miss His best for you, but you need to listen to Him. Don't miss Him. Don't miss Jesus. And that's what Stephen was trying to tell these religious people of his day. And now I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's telling us today, is God wants His best for you, and that's why He's put some things in His Word to help guide your life. And if you will listen to Him, if you'll turn that voice up, then things are going to go well for you on the earth. And everybody said, all right, look at somebody and say, don't miss Him. All right? And when we walk in this and turn God's voice up and listen to Him when He tells us the slightest little thing, all right, mark your attitude today. Turn it up. You know, don't turn it down and say, you know what, God, I'm just going to be ticked off all day. In fact, I might kick the dog and the cat today, right? No, turn it up. You know, turn it up, listen to God. And when you turn it up and listen to God, here's what's going to happen, guys. You're going to walk around seeing God's glory in your life. And so this is what happened to Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60, it says, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit," there it is again. I just want you to know Luke was the one who wrote the book of Acts, and he keeps telling us this man was full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. So he's full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. That's the only time in Scripture where we see this. And he says, "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Only God opened his eyes where he could see that day. "And at this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul." That Stephen had no idea that he was listening to him, and it was pricking his heart that day. "And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Who's that sound like? It sounds like Jesus. "Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And I love how Scripture says it didn't say he died. God just said, "Come on home." He didn't feel the rest of the rocks hitting him. He was being stoned to death. God said, "Come on home, son." And Jesus, guys, man, this just gives me goosebumps. Jesus stood up and said, "Daddy, there he is. There's the man full of the Holy Spirit. He stood up for us today, and I'm standing up for him. And Father, I want you to meet Stephen today." And the Father says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the kingdom of God." Didn't even feel a rock hit him. And everybody said, God is good. When we stand up for God, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see it. Stephen saw the glory of God because he lived for the glory of God, and he was able to live for the glory of God because he was full of the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Joseph. When he was talking about Joseph, there was that situation where he could have slept with Potiphar's wife, and he said, "How can I do such a thing and sin against my God?" I want to live in that kind of glory. Amen. That's living for the glory of God. You're living your life to please the Father and nobody else. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm living for him. And everybody said, amen. Last couple scriptures today show you the two bookends of this scripture. "To this he replied, 'Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared.'" He calls him the God of glory. I love that. And then in verse 55 it says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God." Because he stood up for the glory of God, he saw the glory of God, and he also saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Before I ask for the salvation prayer this morning, I just feel like that there's, and I'm not going to have you come up here, raise your hand, or any of that kind. I know in my spirit that there are some people here today that you're going through some hell on earth right now. I mean, let me just say it this way. You're going through a hard season, okay? And God wants you to know He's going to have his glory appear to you. If you'll keep standing up and doing the right thing, you're in a situation where you could really go the way of the world. That's what I'm trying to say. And this is just what I'm feeling in my spirit this morning. And if you'll stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to do that. Yep, I didn't ask for this hand to be dealt to me, what I'm going through right now. I'm in a hard season. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the right choices, and I'm going to choose to live for God, and I'm going to choose his glory. And then I'm not going to, you know, try to make things happen in myself. And as I do that, God's going to honor me because I'm standing up for his glory, and I'm living for him." I just feel like that's really for somebody here this morning. Okay? And I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want to have this. We do this every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church because there's people come in and out of these doors every Sunday, and then there's also, you know, different ones that tune in online. We put this on the radio for the next Sunday, and so I lead everybody in what I call the prayer of salvation, because the Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that we'll be saved. And so I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. If you've never done this before, you're in good company. We're all going to pray with you this morning. So even if you are saved, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If I can have the lights come back on, and we're going to have, did we get the, is the video, did it happen? Okay. All right. We're going to have JW. Is JW in the house? Give JW a big hand clap this morning. And I'd like to get his, I know he's going to get changed. I want all his whole family to come up here this morning. And is Patricia back there? Yeah, get Patricia to come out here, because she's going to give us a little camp testimony report before we dismiss today. And I want the praise team to be ready whenever, you know, up here. We're going to go out with the song this morning. Patricia, come on up here. I want you to share some things that happened at camp this week. I know we don't have the video file, I don't believe, but I'll get you. Got some of the girls that went to camp. How many do we have go to camp? We had a total of 8, and they said that, I'll let you tell them. There we go. I think that's, okay, yeah. See if it's on. Okay.
Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Betcha.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were asking. Okay,
Dusty,
sorry.
Open the door.
I'll get it together in a minute. So I've been trying to work on the video, cannot get it to work. So as soon as I get it to work, I will post that. Is that okay?
Yeah,
maybe on
that.
Our church page, yeah. Or something like that, so you guys can all watch it, okay? But we took 8 kids to camp. We go to Camp Victory in Manford. And we had 8 this summer. It was a pretty small group, but it just worked out. I mean, God is just amazing, and everything worked out. The whole camp session, usually when we go, there's 150 to 200 kids on the campus. There were, not counting the Camp Victory staff, there were 36 of us. And so it was an extremely small camp. And talking to the workers, you know, they asked how I liked it. I'm like, I love it. Not, you know, it's a little bit quieter and no lines, right, kids, at the activities. They didn't have to wait in line. They just kept going on zip line. And, I mean, they just kept going and going. We spent a lot of time at the go-karts. But anyway, so it was a really good camp. And the thing was, it was more intimate and personal. The camp staff, they were able to really minister to each child that was there. They got to spend more time with the kids. The camp staff in the summer is mostly college students interning. Most of them are from Oral Roberts, so maybe Parker can intern one summer. I don't know. Amazing camp staff, though. They love the kids. I can't even do this, but they knew every kid by name. I mean, they were all the time hollering at the kids, right? They knew your name, everything. So it was very good. They really focused on 3 keys there. That the theme, since we don't have the video, sorry, it was unlock heaven on earth, amen. Right? Teaching us how to unlock heaven, what we have in heaven, to unlock it here on earth right now. Like, we have that power. And so the first night was salvation. They had keys, the 3 keys. Salvation was the first night. And the key to salvation is, do y'all remember? Jesus. And the second key, which was the second night, was unlocking healing. And so, you know, these kids, guys, they learn and they know way more than what we give them credit for, and they are powerful. Like, God gives them that power. And so we talked about healing, and there were children there at camp that got healed. Some of ours even had claimed healing, right? Yep, Audrey sang her. And you guys here in just a second, I'm going to let y'all talk if you want, okay? But there were children there that got that received healing. There were children there that prayed for other children to receive healing. It was just powerful, guys, to see kids go up to each other and lay hands on each other and just pray. The third night was probably the most powerful night. Do y'all remember what the third night was, what we talked about, Adley? Yes, speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit. We had talked about, they taught the children how to receive the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit lives in each and every single one of us and even them. And so it was just powerful, guys. 36 kids. Every one of our Harvest Fellowship kids went up to altar call every night. The last night, I think most of our children, all of them, received the power of the Holy Spirit and their prayer language.
Awesome.
And so they were encouraged. It makes me want to cry. Sorry.
Love it.
They were encouraged to pray in their spirit language, their tongue, even at home, right? Because we can access that power whether we're at home in our room. We can pray over people at school. And so these kids were so poured into, and they received so much. But we also had a lot of fun, right? is there anything y'all want to share? No? No? Nobody wants to share? but anyway, just so you guys know, it was powerful. They received the power of the Holy Spirit. They received healing. They came home so pumped and fired up. We're going to do a lot in children's ministry to learn more about these keys, right? We had Colton Wynn as my sponsor. He's not coming up here. But we had a good time. I think by the time it was at the end, I think he was glad he went. We both, you know, heading up there, it was hot. We were both like, oh, gosh, we don't want to do this. It's going to be hot. But we had a great time. And honestly, the power of the Spirit moved so much in that building that the third night of the Holy Spirit, camp staff goes up and they pray over Colton. And while they're praying over Colton, I am just, you know, worshiping and praying. And out of nowhere, the worship leader for Victory Church, she had been there. She wasn't leading worship through the camp, but she had just been there and comes up to me and just starts praying and prophesying over me, read my mail and sent me out crying. And it was just, us leaders there were ministered to just as much as the kids were. So another thing, they played dodgeball, and I will say, I've got a video, I might post it, but he might kick my butt. Colton was dodgeball. They did campers versus leaders. Well, of course, there's way more campers than there are leaders, and Colton and I get out there, and I'm thinking, I've got a bum knee, which I did receive healing on that, I feel like. And but anyway, I tried to use that as an excuse, and Colton and I were the last two leaders left playing dodgeball against all these kids, and I ended up getting out, and Colton just dominated and annihilated every kid left, and they did an ESPN-style interview with him. It was hilarious. He gave credit to his team for sticking with him, and it was just fun stuff. So I'm like, okay, we're going to have to bring up a younger generation to start going to camp, because afterwards we were on our way home, and I'm like, man, my shoulder hurts. Colton, what is this? And he's rubbing. He's like, that's your rotator cuff. And I'm like, why am I hurting so bad? And he's like, you played dodgeball? I'm like, oh, yeah. I was trying to hose some down there and hit y'all, huh? So anyway, we tried not to completely hurt a child, but so anyway, that was fun. We had go-karts, about got killed on those a few times. I texted a few parents and said, sorry, we had a multi-vehicle accident. They were treated and released at the scene, and it was Audrey and Jax. Poor Jax came home with a bruised up chin, but they had a great time, and I just want to thank each and every person for your donating to help these kids go. Our youth was able to go. A lot of them went on donations. all these kids were able to go with the help of your donations. So thank you so much for Amen. Pouring into our children's and our youth ministry. Thank you for just praying. Just keep them in your prayers that they continue to grow in the way that the Lord would have them to. But thank you guys for everything. So,
Amen.
And if you guys don't want to have anything to say, awesome. I'll turn it back over.
Awesome. Love it. Oh, Colton, I just had a mental image of you just getting after them kids with a dodgeball. I love it. Good job, girls. Proud of y'all. I just love the – thank you for sharing, Patricia. I love that they had the Book of Acts experience at camp. Love it. If I can have JW and his family come on up here this morning, I'll get the praise team get on up there. And we're going to go out with One Way Jesus after we baptize Mr. JW. This young man is ready to be baptized.
Awesome.
I love it. Sharp young man. Yeah, give him a hand clap. He's being raised by some great parents, Will and Amanda. And I think Ellie may have something to do with it too. And they brought, no, y'all can stand up here with me if you don't mind for right now. And then we can go sit down. But wanted to show off everybody because first thing he did when he came in the church this morning, he came back and found me back in the back, and he said, Pastor Mark, I got my whole family here today. Yeah, I got my whole family here. Got not your whole family, okay, but got most of them. Yeah, I got most of them. This is when I was driving in this morning, and I knew, because I'd asked Will, I said, Will, do you want me to baptize him, or does JW want you? And he said, JW wants you to do it, so I'm honored to do his baptism. But when I was driving in this morning, I got to thinking, God, you're so good, because it was raining. And this is the young man, if y'all don't know, he all the time is praying for rain. He'll come up here and pray for rain. He's a farmer, rancher. He's got chickens. He's got all kinds of things out there on his farm and ranch. And he's a great young man. And I love it whenever he came, the first time he came up to me, and I know Will and Amanda have talked to him about, you know, what's going on today and everything. And he's made that confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. He did it here at church. Was it last Sunday? Yeah, last Sunday. He went to one of our prayer partners and did that, and then he said, he goes, I want to get baptized. So I got a new word for baptism, it's baptized. I said, that's what it is right there. But so what I'm going to do is, you know, baptism is in the Word of God, in Colossians chapter 2, it's what it's called the covenant seal. And Paul equated water baptism with a kind of spiritual circumcision. It's not just getting, you know, put under water. He's identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for him at the cross, the burial, and the resurrection. And he's saying, I identify with Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I'm going to get water baptized, and when I come out of the water, I'm going to walk in that newness of life. And then so the covenant seal in the New Testament is baptism, and the covenant sign is communion. So when we have communion up here every Sunday. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, baptism is sometimes called the watery grave, and that's where the death of the old man and a resurrection of the new man happens, and that's what's happening here today. So I'm going to do a charge to this young man, and then I'm going to do a charge to everyone here and the family that's up here, and then I'm going to pray over him, and then we're going to baptize him, okay? So, JW, I got something to ask you, all right? Do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to celebrate Jesus' presence and to further his mission in the world? If so, say, I do. Amen. Amen. And this is a charge to everyone up here in here and then the family up here today. Will you support JW, this newest member to the body of Christ, with prayer, words, and deeds to help them grow in their knowledge and love of God? If so, say, we will. All right, let's pray over JW. If you want to stretch forth your hand, we're going to pray over this young man. Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for JW. He's such a blessing to me personally every time I see him on Sunday morning. God, it just every time I see him, he reminds me of that childlike faith, God. He's all the time praying for rain, and he loves the farm and the ranch that they're on out here in Leedy, God. And I just thank you so much for Will and Amanda, such great parents. He's got such great family support, and I just pray a special blessing over the whole Bowie family that's here today. And over Will and Amanda and over Ellie and over JW, God. And I thank you that this young man is going to do great things for the kingdom of God. Lord, he's going to be a shining witness for you all the days of his life. God, he's going to walk with you all the days of his life. He's going to be sensitive, just like the prophet Samuel. He's going to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. God. He's always going to have that voice that I talked about today, the voice of the Holy Spirit turned up in his life. He's never going to turn it down, and he's always going to walk with you, God. And Lord, we thank you for JW, and we bless him today, and we thank you that we're all witnesses here today of him following you in water baptism, and we bless him today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, we're going to go up here, and if you guys want to sit down and y'all take pictures, video, and then after we baptize JW, we're going to go out with One Way Jesus. So you guys get ready to rock it. Yeah. We call this the Holy Hot Tub, Mr. JW. Come on down here. There's a little seat right there, but you can just turn around. I think you can just stand up because you may baptize yourself if you hold your nose like that. And then this one right here. Okay. All right. This is JW fixing to get baptized in the name of Jesus. JW, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, buddy. Good job. Amen. Yeah. Good job, buddy. Good job, buddy. Look, hey. Awesome. Amen. God is good and all the time. Amen. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to go out with this song today, One Way Jesus. Amen. Y'all have a blessed week. God bless y'all.